The message this morning is Jesus, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and gladness as well. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he drew nigh, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, in this day even thou, the things which belong unto peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee when thine enemies shall cast up a bank about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And now John 11, verse 32. This is about the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Mary, therefore, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And now, Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the spirit, and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and didst reveal them unto babes, yea, Father, for so it was well pleasing in thy sight. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that you tell us about your Son. Let us know from the things that we've read this morning. We see the truth of what you tell us, that he was made in all things like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. We thank you for that. Our God, how can we understand such things written of thy Son, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? But we can understand that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We thank you, Father, for the things that we can understand. So help us in the portions we read this morning to understand somewhat about this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and gladness as well. Let us know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you are familiar with the content of Romans chapter 9, and then 10 and 11, you'll understand why in the morning I'm going to speak to you in the will of God about things suggested in Romans 9 from the Gospel. And then at night I will be speaking to you actually on Romans 9, 10, and 11. And so that means that most of you will not hear me speak on Romans 9, 10, and 11 unless a miracle takes place here in Durham. But at least you will know something about it from what I'm telling you this morning. When you read Romans chapter 9, you find the heart Paul being laid bare. And when this happens, you think of the heart of the Lord Jesus being laid bare as well. Listen and you'll understand. Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow, great pain, continual agony in my heart. Words to this effect. He has pain and he has continual sorrow in his heart for my brethren's sake, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And why is this? It's because they are lost. And he says, I could wish that I myself were a curse from God for them. Now, think of the emotions of Paul and think of the emotion of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 19. The Apostle Paul said that he had pain and continual sorrow in his heart for his kinsmen, his brethren according to the flesh, because they were lost. And our Savior beheld Jerusalem doomed, condemned to destruction, and Jesus wept. You see the similarity? And what happens is this, that in the case of Paul, you see a similarity in him and in his Savior, and you find another similarity in the life of Stephen, like his Savior. When our Savior was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now do you understand? You have things that happen in our Lord's life, and you see them reproduced in the lives of his disciples. Most of us want vengeance when people do us injury. And at the same time, when people reject the Lord Jesus as Savior, you say they deserve to die and go to hell. But when these things happen in our Lord's life, he weeps over Jerusalem. And in like manner, Paul, when he looks upon the nation of Israel and knows that as a whole it's going to be lost, irrecoverably lost, he says, there is continual pain, there is sorrow in my heart. And so this is the similarity. And I want to talk to you today about the Lord Jesus as being the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and gladness as well. For this reason, once in a while, when you preach and it is acceptable, someone will come and tell you about it. But on rarer occasions, when you pray and it is acceptable, someone will come and tell you about it. And many years ago, a dear sister in Christ came up after I had prayed at the remembrance meeting. And in the prayer, I had mentioned these words. I had mentioned that our Savior was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But I also quoted from Psalm 45. It says this there. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Did you know that was in the Bible? Most of us constantly hear that Jesus was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Do you realize that Jesus also was a man of gladness whose heart rejoiced again and again? And the sister said, I've never noticed that before. Yes, a man of sorrows, but the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so let me ask you a question. Which was greater, the sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life on earth, or the gladness in the life of Jesus when he was on earth? You say, well, certainly his sorrow, but it says that God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. There was no happier man on earth at times than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was no more sorrowful man on earth at times than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why, if I preach to you about the man of sorrows acquainted with grief, I have to tell you that he also was a man of gladness, anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows as well. And so we look into the life of the Lord Jesus, and we see his sorrow and his gladness, and we see what made him sorrowful, and we see what made him glad. And then consider his reaction to certain circumstances, and see if yours are like unto his. When have you ever had pain and sorrow in your heart because your friends are lost and going to hell? When? When have you ever wept for them because you knew that they were irrecoverable? You say, I cannot remember. The Lord Jesus did. And at the same time, when you saw people sick, those without strength, those suffering, when did you weep? Well, the Lord Jesus did again and again. The chapter was read this morning from that chapter in Hebrews chapter 5, telling of the third time the scripture tells us about the tears of the Lord Jesus. It says in Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications to God, unto him that was able to save him out of death, it says, with strong crying and tears. And so we have three times recorded that the Lord Jesus shed tears. The first in Luke 19, and then in our gospel order, John 11, and then the reference in Hebrews 5 is not in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the mistake that most people make. You see, it says, and he cried unto God who was able to save him out of death and being heard. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried unto his father, and his father did not save him from death, because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But on the cross, he cried unto his father to be saved out of death, and the father did save him out of death on the third day. And so we have the Lord Jesus three times showing us the sorrow in his life in ways that we can detect. At other times, there were sorrows in the life of our Lord, and you would not know about them unless he told you. And that is what he did. You'll find that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said this. He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. And that is an inward sorrow. And he had to tell his disciples that. And on other occasions, our Lord had to tell us the inward emotions that he was experiencing. But he did have those emotions. And you'll find those emotions in the Psalms and also in the Book of Lamentations, which I will take and put these words in his lips. And this is what these portions say. Is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, which is brought unto me. It says, the Lord hath afflicted me with the wrath, his wrath from heaven. He hath sent down fire from heaven into my bones. And he says, is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is brought upon me, which the Lord hath afflicted me with in the day of his fierce anger. You say, yes, that is the Father laying on him the iniquity of us all. The day of his fierce anger, he says, is it nothing to you that pass by? And so here is our Savior as the man of sorrow, and it is a sorrow that is incomparable, and you would not know it, and I would not know it, but he says, is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow. It's like this. When our Savior healed the 10 lepers, he simply said, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And one of them returned and gave thanks to God. And then you find out what our Savior was feeling in his heart. He said, we're not 10 lepers cleansed. He said, but where are the 9? Was there only this one, this stranger, who returned to give glory to God? And so there were many emotions in the heart of our Savior, and we would never have known of them unless he told us. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, he says, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. And so our Savior had inward sorrows, and he has to tell us about them. And he feels within his heart that lack of sympathy that cannot be found even from Peter, James, and John. Watch with me. And he goes about a stone's throw from them and falls down and prays to his Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And this is what it says in Psalm 69. It says, I may mention that Psalm 45 and Psalm 69 are messianic psalms. And so these are words of our Savior. He says this in Psalm 69 about his sorrow. He says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for some to show compassion, but I found none. You see, reproach had broken his heart. He was full of heaviness. He looked for some to take pity, for some to comfort him, he said, but he found none. And he went to the 3 that he had taken with him into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. But their sorrow was not like his sorrow. But you understand that he looked for comforters. He looked for some to take pity, and there was none. And so our Savior was the man of sorrows within and without. And we can tell about his sorrow when you see our Savior weeping, shedding tears. In Luke 19, abundance of tears. In John 11, silent tears. In Hebrews chapter 5, strong crying and tears. But our Lord, in his sorrow, had light sorrow and deep sorrow. Sorrow even unto death. Our Savior was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, something fascinating about Isaiah 53 is this, that our Savior was sorrowful in that chapter in a twofold way. We would never have known it unless Matthew had told us about it. Because in Matthew chapter 8, all the sick, the diseased, the demon-possessed, were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, he healed them all, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took our sorrows, our weaknesses, our sicknesses, he took them himself. You say, I thought the bearing of our sorrows and griefs occurred on the cross. They did. It happens twice. The Lord Jesus experienced with the sickness and suffering of mankind sorrow when he entered into those sorrows and those sicknesses and made them his own. And we are told that that is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, first of all. And then, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We know that that's the cross. And also, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That also happened at the cross of Calvary. So it means that in life, the Lord Jesus Christ had these sorrows because he was in the midst of sick and suffering humanity, and he felt it in his heart. Do you think that God's Spirit would have written in the Bible, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice, and God's Son would not weep and rejoice at the times when he should? And it says this. It says that when a leper came to him, he said to our Savior, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And our Savior, being moved with compassion, laid his hand upon him and healed him. And he said, "I will, be thou made clean." And so there was compassion every time the Lord Jesus ever exerted his power to heal mankind, to heal the brokenhearted in our sorrow. He was sorrowful. And therefore, the Lord Jesus was sorrowful in a twofold way. He was sorrowful because of you. And he was sorrowful most of all because of himself when his God forsook him. And this is why it says, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. And I mention that because the word grief is translated so many times in the Old Testament, sicknesses. And the Lord Jesus associated himself with those sicknesses and did away with them. And every time he did away with them, he felt it in his heart. And so this is the sorrow of our Savior for you, first of all. And all the tears that our Lord shed in Luke 19 and in John chapter 11 were not tears for himself, but tears for you. And our Savior again and again and again had preached the gospel of salvation to the nation of Israel. But it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. And the Lord Jesus knew the consequences of rejecting him as their promised Messiah. And he, by the Spirit of God, looked upon Jerusalem and saw it not just before he was to die, but he saw it when Titus would come in AD 70 and would destroy the city, tear down every stone and not leave one upon another, would destroy the people, would dash the women with children upon the stones. He saw all of that, and it broke his heart, and he cried out. He wept. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He did it twice. He did it in Matthew 23 as well as in Luke 19. But in Luke 19, it said that he wailed over Jerusalem because of their inevitable doom. Now, this is why I chose the portion in the gospel, like unto that which is found in Romans chapter 9. Because the Apostle Paul said that he had great pain and continual sorrow in his heart for his kinsmen, his brethren, according to the flesh, because they were lost and he could do nothing about it. And so great was his sorrow and his love for them that he said, "I could wish myself accursed from God for their sake." And I confess this to you, I would not wish myself accursed from God for any sinner. Why? Because in hell there is the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. There is the eternal torment forever. But there are some, like Saul, that can honestly say, "My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit." And he could say, as David said concerning his son, "O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died in thy stead, O Absalom, my son." You can understand as a father for a child to take his place. And perhaps as a citizen of Israel, you could want to do something for your country, to die for them. That is one thing. But to be accursed from God, to be shut out of heaven, that they might go into heaven, that is a love that is beyond compare. And so this is what Paul said in Romans 9. And this is what our Lord showed with weeping upon the city of Jerusalem because he knew that they were doomed. The time had passed because God's visitation is not always. He said, "Yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And Israel had 3 years of light. And now that light was going to be taken away from them. And they were inevitably doomed. And so I could sorrow for you this morning because I preached to you so many years and you have heard the gospel so many years and you're not saved. And so I'm not glad you're going to be lost, but I tell you, you are going to be lost, because apart from the Lord Jesus as Savior, you're going to be lost. And it causes sorrow to a degree in my heart, as it caused the greatest sorrow in the heart of the Lord Jesus and in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And so this is why Jesus wept. You understand that this morning, you who are lost are causing sorrow to the Son of God's heart in heaven, because if he wept on earth, he will also weep in heaven, because the Lord Jesus' love is as great in heaven for you as it was when he was on earth. But not only for the loss of salvation, that was a great cause of sorrow in the heart of Jesus. But just as I went to a funeral yesterday, and there was sorrow because a mother had lost her child. And in John chapter 11, we have two whom Jesus loved that are still alive, Mary and Martha. And they had sent him an urgent message. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And that's all that they need to say. It was unnecessary to say, we want you to come. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Lord Jesus delayed 4 days before he came. And Lazarus died. And now, when the Lord finally does appear, Mary says to him, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And then he sees all the professional mourners at the funeral, all the sadness. He sees the broken heart of Mary, the broken heart of Martha. And he sees them weeping and wailing. And then it says, Jesus wept. Now, that is a gentle weeping, not a loud wailing, but a gentle weeping. Because when any one of you loses a loved one, Jesus weeps. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so the Lord Jesus hates the consequences of sin. And that's why he came to save you. He came to deliver all them who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light. But until that day, since it's appointed unto men once to die, until that day, every time one of our loved ones dies, and the Lord Jesus wept at the funeral of Lazarus, so the Lord Jesus weeps when there is sorrow in our hearts. Now think of that. The sorrow twice when our Savior wept was sorrow not for himself, but sorrow for you. The Lord Jesus is sad because you are lost. And the Lord Jesus is sad because you are sad. Because one that you love had been taken away from you. And the Lord Jesus can do absolutely nothing about it. Because God is the one who determines how long we live and when we die. And the Lord Jesus is not going to interfere. He will do nothing for it in life except go and have his presence with you and weep with you. And to know that Jesus loves me and he's with me and he is weeping when I weep is a comfort that is incomprehensible. And yet, that is what the presence of Jesus Christ means, and that is the truth of the sorrow of the Lord Jesus. To know that Jesus sorrows when your child is taken, when your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, when someone that you love is taken away and you sorrow, Jesus sorrows and Jesus weeps. But please notice that there is gentle weeping at a funeral. You say, but that's the greatest loss. But Jesus can do something about that. Lazarus, dead, and yet the Lord Jesus said, take away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth. There's no need for Jesus to weep inconsolably. Why? Because with the utterance of a few words, he can bring that dead one back to life. And so there's just a little weeping because of your sorrow, not understanding about death. But the Lord Jesus wailed for the simple reason that if you're lost and in hell, he is unable to do anything about it. The smoke of your torment shall ascend forever and ever. You'll never be brought back from eternal separation from God. That breaks the heart of Jesus Christ, and he can do nothing about it. He can do something now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can save you now. But if you do not in time trust Christ as Savior, he can do nothing. And the heart of Christ is broken over all of those that he came to seek and to save, those that are lost. And you will not be saved. You will not come unto me that you may have eternal life. This is what our Savior said, and that causes him sorrow. And then, the sorrow, and the Lord Jesus was a man of strength. But I tell you this, that he who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, when he contemplated being made sin, the one who was eternally in the bosom of the Father, when he anticipated being made sin and being forsaken by his Father, that's when he cried out with strong crying and tears for him who was able to save him from death, because there was no death like the death of the Lord Jesus. You, for your sins, must die. But Jesus, for no sins of his own, but for your sins, must die. That I die for my sins? Yes. That thief on the cross said this, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But what had the Lord Jesus done to die for your sins? And what had he ever done to be separated a moment from the love of the Father? And the Lord Jesus, in anticipation of that, sweat as it were great drops of blood, and he cried out unto God in the garden, and then upon the cross unto him that was able to save him from death. And so the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But I told you also he was acquainted with gladness, because it says in Psalm 45 that the Father, his God, has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And it would have blessed my heart if I ever could have seen our Savior in one of those moments of gladness. I can conceive of our Savior as weeping. You can think of him as weeping. Have you ever thought of him with brightness and joy and smile and laughter upon his face? It says he's been anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Well, when Israel was brought back from captivity, they said, our mouths were filled with laughter, our hearts rejoiced. And so it says the Lord Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He was more joyful, filled with gladness, than any of his brethren, just as he was the man of sorrows. See if there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. You say there is none. Well, there is no joy like the joy of the Lord Jesus. And just as your damnation causes him sorrow, your salvation causes him gladness. In Luke chapter 15, there are 100 sheep, and one of them is lost. I simply say that in brief. And the Lord Jesus, that good shepherd, goes and he finds the sheep. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he calls his friends and neighbors and he says, rejoice with me. And then he opens heaven and he says, and there's joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repents. And that is what brings joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation? Who cares if you're saved? Nobody cares. Maybe some loved one. But, oh, so you got saved. It says that it causes the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to be filled with joy. And he rejoices. And he wants others to enter into that joy. And he wants to send a message to heaven. And he says, rejoice with me on earth. And I know that there is joy in heaven. So think of that. That when a sinner gets saved, there is joy in heaven. And that joy is unending. And that is why Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy, of gladness, above his fellows. And so Jesus, he was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and also he was acquainted with gladness. And the determination of his sorrow or gladness is dependent upon you. Trust in the Savior and fill his heart with gladness. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you sent this one from heaven. we remember that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. We know that now. And so we are so thankful that all of us who know him, we realize his great love wherewith he has loved us. And we are sorrowful because he had the sorrow for us. But we are so glad that we are saved, and the joy that begins on earth shall be continued in heaven for eternity. And we would desire that in this congregation today, there shall not be one note of sadness, but all notes of joy, because sinners have been saved. Bless us to that end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.